Fenton Gates Hotline, where Barrett Salee from CBS Sports is waiting to join us. Good afternoon, Barrett. Are you getting all the hot dogs ready to slap on the grill for a 4th of July weekend?
Yeah, we'll be doing that. I actually am going to, not tomorrow, but I think on Sunday, smoke a pork shoulder. So, I'm excited about the weekend. It's supposed to be pretty decent weather. So, yeah, excited to see family and friends. And, it's hopefully the weather holds off.
What's your one staple for the 4th of July? Like, do you have to get the grill? Are you that guy that just has to get the grill out? Do you have to see fireworks? Like, what's your one staple?
I don't have to see the grill. July 4th is actually my mom's birthday, so usually I have to see her. That's the that's the one thing. But no, fireworks are typically what I do. I'm that dad that is in charge of the fireworks. I self-appointed myself to be that guy. And it seems like it's a lot of work, but it's actually, I enjoy it. I take a cooler down to wherever we're shooting them off from and have a good old time.
All right. I like that. Hey, Barrett, talking a little college football, it looks like Navy is the first FBS program to lose a game because of the coronavirus, not because they canceled the game, but because their FCS opponent, I guess the week of September 12th, went ahead and canceled. Is this going to be a domino effect that you're going to start seeing across college football?
I think maybe some of those smaller schools, because they just might not be able to field a team, they might start doing that. I think for those schools, the risk-reward is something you have to weigh. Is it worth giving up that paycheck in order to save, costs for travel or whatever, not just for your football program, but for your entire athletic department? So I think that's the biggest issue that they're going to have to face now is, what's the risk-reward? And so, yeah, I think you'll see some of that. I don't necessarily know how Navy or other schools that have that happen to them, are going to respond or should respond because it is so close to, the start of the season. We have seen games, reshuffled during the season. I think East Carolina had one last year. So you can do that, but you have to have a willing dance partner, and it's hard to somehow find that willing dance partner.
There, we saw that the Pac-12 is now specifically with out in the Pac-12, USC specifically looking at the online classes for the most part versus the in-school classes on campus. What kind of impact do you think this could have potentially on USC and the Pac-12?
I think the one sort of factor that I think might pop up from it is the idea that if you let football players do online only or have football players primarily on campus, either way, then clearly you'd be admitting that this is a financial decision to play football, which we all know it is anyway. But then you'd have a whole bunch of other consequences and a whole other bunch of roads you might have to go down, name, image, and likeness and potentially players unionizing and things like that. So I don't think necessarily the decision of USC or UCLA or the Cal State system or whatever has a ton to do with the future of football. I think it's going to impact it a little bit, and yeah, it's going to make some headlines. But, in reality, that's just a student body decision. That's a decision that from the school level that has to be, delivered to students of all kinds to say, all right, look, you got to start preparing to be on campus, or you got to start finding a way to take online classes, or you got to start finding some residents here in LA. So yeah, I think that it doesn't necessarily directly impact football because I do think if you do have schools go online only, they'll find a way to make it work. I think that's more of a decision that is relevant to just the general student body.
We're talking to CBS Sports' Barrett Salee. Barrett, Jeremy Pruitt was on the Dan Patrick Show earlier this week and said that Tennessee has not had a positive COVID-19 test for any player at this point in time. They will be retested when they get back to campus after this 3-day holiday weekend. I'm not sure what to take away from that. I feel like it's good news on the surface. I don't know how deep you dig into it. But with other places having such big numbers, is it just a matter of time before we hear about those Vols in the news?
Yeah, probably. I don't think there's any way to avoid it completely. And You know, you're especially this weekend, like you said, players are at home, not just from Tennessee, but all around the country. So, you know, there's a chance they come back and, you know, have all kinds of contact with people who, you know, schools don't even know about. So, yeah, sure. You know, I think it's unavoidable that you're going to have positive tests. We've seen obviously big numbers at LSU and Clemson. We've seen small numbers in a lot of different places, or like at Tennessee, no numbers. So, you know, I just think that the protocols are in place. I think what happens at LSU and Clemson will go a long way toward telling everybody else what the sort of plan is, you know, moving forward. So, I think Tennessee will be in that boat at some point. And you know, where it goes from there, we'll see. I think that finding out if the protocols that are in place are effective is something that we sort of need to figure out now before we go further down that road.
Baird, are a lot of the positive tests that we're getting, the results that we're getting from this COVID test, are most of them happening in the tests that are being given prior to them coming on campus? Or are there situations at schools where the follow-up tests, once they're already in the facility working out, we're seeing those positive tests? Because there's quite a distinction between those two scenarios, right?
Yeah, there is. I think initially, obviously, there was a pretty significant number that popped up. So majority of them, yeah, they're in the initial welcome back to campus testing phase. You know, and then the schools do what they can to sort of minimize the impact of that. But, you know, obviously you're going to have, you know, some after effects. And so you've seen the numbers, you know, dwindle a little bit, even at a place like Clemson. They went from, I think, 23 to 17 or 24 one week to 17 the next. So, you know, you've seen, you know, they're trying to take a proactive approach. Everybody's trying to take a proactive approach to prevent it from spreading, you know, throughout an athletic department. But, yeah, most of them are initial, you know, tests. And I think that's important to note, because had they not been, you know, college football players, they'd be walking around wherever they're from or wherever they were symptomatic or asymptomatic, but carriers of COVID. And, you know, being a college football player was able to not only inform them of what needs to be done and give them proper care, but also protect a lot of other people from around the country from, you know, unwillingly being around players and people who just don't know they're carriers of it.
Barrett Slee joining us from CBS Sports. Barrett, Mike Gundy is taking a $1 million pay cut per year. Is this just a damage control move, or how would you label the latest pay cut for his kind of soap opera that he's been living in the last 2 weeks?
Yeah, I mean, I think it was a forced voluntary pay cut, if that makes sense. You know, I think he recognized he needed to do something to get back in the good graces of the administration and the players. And, you know, it's a nice, neat, round number, $1 million pay cut. And, you know, it's not necessarily a PR move. I think it's certainly going to put him in the good graces of the administration and the players. And so I think it's not necessarily something that was needed, but I think it shows, you know, that he understands a little bit more about, you know, where his players are coming from and understands that, you know, he's going to have to do better. And, you know, this, as we said before, this is not about no way insured. It's never been about no way insured. It's been about a lingering problem that, like they said last night, is the lack of personal relationships with the players. And we've had a lot of coaches like that over time, most notably Bobby Petrino, who I don't think ever got to see his players except for on the practice field. I'm not saying that Gundy is Petrino, but, you know, that kind of thing does happen. So, you know, that just shows to me a further proof and another indication that he's taking this thing seriously.
Barrett, I think I know the answer to this, but maybe not everyone might have seen you tweet about it. But if the Washington Redskins do change their name, what should they go with, in your opinion?
Oh, it's got to be the Washington Sentinels. I need Shane Falco's uniform. I need Jimmy McGinty on the sidelines. I need all of them. I need the British kicker who smokes inside of his helmet. We need all of that in Washington. So, yeah, if they change their name, I don't think there's any doubt it has to be the Washington Sentinels' new uniforms and all. And those uniforms are sharp. You know, it's not like their movie uniforms that are kind of crazy, like we saw on Any Given Sunday. I mean, those were sharp uniforms.
That is hilarious, and I love the Falco reference. Barrett, any update on SEC Media Days? We know that it's not going to be held at its previously scheduled date, but what are you hearing in regards to SEC Media Days, and what do you guys have going on right now at CBS Sports and CBS Sports HQ?
Well, I think for Media Days, to me, well, I think what the goal is for the office is to figure out how to not only maximize publicity for the conference, but maximize publicity for the sport, because it feels an obligation to do that, and make it more of a TV event, which it already is. But I think the goal is to wait as long as possible so they know what the season is. And then once they know the exact time frame of the season, then kind of put together a plan, not only with the conference and the schools, but also with other conferences, to say, all right, look, you know, we're all in this together. We know what the schedule is for the season. Let's do all we can to publicize the sport, knowing full well that it's going to be a fall chock full of sports, and it's going to be fighting for a lot of eyeballs. So I would imagine that the later the better is the opinion of the SEC. And you know, while other conferences have scheduled their times for virtual media days, I'd imagine there still would be some sort of, you know, concerted effort, like an ESPN car wash or something from the other conferences, to sort of all come in this together.
And then tell everybody what you have going on at CBS Sports right now.
Yeah, we have staff picks coming out today on the most undervalued player to make the biggest bounce back. So that'll be fun. Got a lot of commitment stuff happening. There'll be a commitment of the top-rated dual-threat quarterback in the country will happen on CBS Sports HQ tomorrow. So lots of stuff happening there. We've had two other commitments this week. So a lot of recruiting going on HQ.
All right, well, tell Mom we said happy birthday here in Knoxville. We're sending her a lot of love. And make sure all fingers are intact by the time you're back on the airwaves with us next Friday. Watch those piggies, okay?
I will do my best. I can't promise anything.
All right, that's Barrett Salee from CBS Sports. You can follow him on Twitter, @BarrettSaleeCBS on Twitter.